One of my favorite songs this morning, and Brother Jantz sang another favorite one tonight. I appreciate these men, and what a great job they've done. Didn't you enjoy the kids' choir tonight? And then Viviana playing the piano, and I didn't see who the other one. Who was it? Aiden? Oh, Spence. All right. And it's good to see them playing the piano. They were in the competition at Master's Clubs yesterday, playing the piano, correct? Right? And so it's good to have them come and let us see how what they did yesterday. And doing a fine job. We need to we tried to get our kids involved and instruments and playing instruments. I think that's one of those things that has kind of gone by the wayside in these new age that we live in. And I'm thankful that as a kid, my parents made me take the piano. And I'm telling them, made me. I didn't have a choice. You know, it's 30 minutes a day. Or else you got the Board of Education applied to the seat of understanding. And I'd much rather practice the piano than get the Board of Education. And I can play about five songs, but Roberta won't let me touch that piano. You think she plays hard and loud? I have man fingers. And I only know how to play one way. And that's rough and loud and choppy. But appreciate tonight and appreciate this morning. What a blessing to be in the house of God. Amen. And let's turn up with our Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And what a subject we try to tackle tonight. This series of lessons on practical paths of following Jesus and basically dealing with principles and precepts found in the Word of God that should produce a conviction and then thirdly should produce a standard in our lives as we seek to be more like Christ, to follow in His steps. And so tonight we're going to talk about modesty. And I certainly cannot cover this in one night. But tonight I want to try to keep from meddling too much. And most of you know my opinions when it comes to various aspects of modesty as far as dress codes and those type of things and how I run my own family. And we may briefly touch on a few of those, but I'm going to really try to give you the biblical principles that are found and some of those for you to follow. And you come up and, again and pray about the conviction you would like that you would and also the standard, especially the standard. All of our standards could be different. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to skip on down for sake of time. It just talks about the man and intercessor. Look down at verse 9. Says, in like manner also, the woman adorned themselves in modest apparel. That's where we get the word modest here. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And it goes on to speak about women's place and so forth. And we won't go into that one tonight. But modesty. Adorn yourself in modest apparel. Again, this is one of those great debates and probably besides salvation, maybe a couple of other subjects. It's definitely in the top 10 of various questions that I've had as a pastor and dealing with how we should dress. And in our society today, where we see absolutely a downward spiral when it comes to dress, when it comes to public dressing and the way people dress, it's amazing. Even in my lifetime, how it's changed. And I know it's cyclical from time to time. You know, miniskirts are in, and from time to time, miniskirts go out, and so forth and so on. But there's no doubt today that if you were to take your children to Six Flags, you almost can't take your children to Six Flags just for that purpose alone, that all the nudity and things that you see just walking around. But you can see that at the mall. I mean, it's just unbelievable what's going on. See, I'm already meddling. And modesty, again, it's a great debate, a great question. Let me just say tonight I primarily want to deal with two main factors, and we're going to deal with various, but two main factors. One is modesty, and one is identity. I believe the Bible addresses these two especially, modesty and identity. First off, I want to start out by saying God loves or accepts us is not the issue here. God loving us or accepting us is not the issue. God loves you. Unconditionally. God loves me unconditionally. That is not the issue here. Pleasing Him and representing Him well, that is the issue. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be ambassadors. modesty means behaving according to a standard or what is proper or decent and pure. If you look it up in a regular, and this is a dictionary definition, you look it up in various dictionaries, there's all sorts of synonyms and other words. The words like chaste and other words come up. It also comes up with the word, has to do with an immodest person. It's funny how the one of the Webster dictionaries I have basically just takes you over to immodesty and then takes you back over to modesty. It never gives you a clear-cut definition. I'm like, what in the world? You know, y'all see what I'm saying? You know, you look it up in the dictionary, the word modesty, it doesn't give you, it gives you many definitions concerning behavior, but I'm talking about modesty when we think about dress. Everybody understand? A person can be modest. By that mean he or she is meek and humble, right? Modest in there, and we'll cover that in a moment. When it comes to dress, basically one of my dictionaries sent me back over to the word immodesty. And when I got over to the word immodesty, it sent me back over to the word modest. Definitions. Immodest person. An immodest person wears clothes that calls attention to the sexual zones of his or her body. Would that be a pretty good... You know, we're not talking about height or whether it's to the knee or whatever to the case. We're just saying that it's when an individual wears something that draws attention to those parts of the body that are sexual in nature. The principle, and Brother Stones did a great job a couple Sundays ago, and we also we talked about the principle of separation. He talked about the principle of ownership. We talked about that principle of separation, that we are to come out from the world, the Bible says, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Listen. Come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The Christian standard is not the world's standards. That's pretty simple. I understand that. The Bible says we are to be holy because He is holy. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says we are to be a peculiar people. A peculiar people. We're to walk worthy, Ephesians says, of the calling where we've been called. Ephesians says we're to walk as children of the light and on and so forth. Jesus says we are to be the light of the world. We're to live blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're to be a light to the those around us. We're called out. We are called out. Does God care how we dress? The answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. How are we to dress? When we go to dress, what are we to be thinking about? Number one is we ought to dress in a way that pleases God. All right? So if we're just going to get a principle together, John chapter 8, verse 29 says, John chapter 8, verse 29 says this, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, you should do to glorify Him. And when you go to get dressed, whatever you're wearing should glorify Him, should bring honor to Him. You say, well, when I'm going to church, I'll honor Him. No, I'm talking about when you go to the workplace, you're to honor Him. Whatever you put on should honor Him. Could Jesus walk up to you and say, hey, how's it going? You know, right? Or would you be embarrassed about what you have on? Well, preacher, you're meddling again. You know, if I go to certain places, I got to wear this or I got to wear that. I'm saying if Jesus was walking beside you, would He be honored by what you have on? Well, we must be careful. We must dress to please the Savior. Well, preacher, I should dress to please my husband. Yeah, but you wouldn't dress to please your husband and not please the Lord with what you dress. Better put the Lord first. Right? Second is your husband, right? And I would say men as well. Dress to please your wife. It's probably more so anyway. Then we just think about the word modest. We should dress, number two, to be modest. We should be modest in the way we dress. 1 Timothy 2:9, here primarily addressing the way women dress. Why would that be the case? Why would Paul, underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, primarily address modesty concerning women? Very simply this, men are sight-oriented. Until a lady understands that, She is being deceived. Really, I can't stress it enough. Men are sight-oriented. Ladies with boy children, especially those on this side over here, these young men are sight-driven, sight-oriented. The man standing in the pulpit, let's just get down where the rubber meets the road. Sight-oriented. Hello? Any man here who says he's not, it's a liar. We're all driven that way. Men are driven that way. So Paul here is primarily addressing the way a woman would dress. Don't draw attention. Don't dress in such a way that would draw attention to those zones. So we'll just tonight be very blunt. Those sexual zones, don't draw attention to those. That's what men are drawn to. Hello? Well, you know, you talk about men. All they think about, you know, we're in mixed company, but sight-oriented. Number three, we should dress in an appropriate fashion. This was interesting to me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, the verse that says, "Let your moderation be known to all men." Look at the word moderation. What's the root word? It's the same word. If you look it up in the dictionary, it actually will say modest in the dictionary and moderation together. Pretty interesting. Who's it addressing in Philippians? It's addressing men and women. Let your moderation be known unto all men, because we will stand before God one day. It's basically what it says. We will stand. We will give an account. Let your moderation. Moderation means appropriate. It means modest. Appropriate. I think this particular point has to do more with dressing appropriately for the right events. If I'm going to a ball game, I may dress in a ball cap and a shirt and sweats and to go to the ball game. Right? I can meddle. When I go to church, I dress in the appropriate manner as well. I've emphasized this before, but it's amazing to me, that when we go to a wedding, we'll dress in a certain manner. Especially, we'll have the funeral tomorrow. There'll be people there there'll be men who wear a suit tomorrow to that funeral who may not have worn a suit in the last 2 years. But they'll wear a suit to a funeral to honor the dead. Why should the Lord and His work receive less respect than the dead? I really believe on that point alone, I could take that point alone and prove to those who would say, when you go to church, you can dress however you want. I think that point alone proves that that is untrue. If you believe that you should respect a couple getting married or a person who's lying in a casket more than you should respect God and the house of God, then you've got an issue. Buddy or sister, there I meddled. I know it's popular today. You know, dress however you want. You know, people go to church dressed in shorts and flip-flops and have no respect for the house of God, have no respect for the things of God. And I'm telling you, that old saying that, you know, come as you are, leave as you come, that's exactly true. For the most part, people who go to those kind of churches will come as they are, and most of the time they'll walk out the door the same way they were when they walked in. They have no respect for the house of God. Preacher, you said you wouldn't meddle. I just feel like I've got to. Amen. And I'm glad. I know I'm preaching to the choir for the most part tonight. You guys agree with me. But you ought to be able to explain that to an individual. You bring your friend on a Sunday morning and he goes, why do most ladies dress in a dress and most men, you know, dress nicely, a suit and tie or at least at the very least nicely with a collared shirt? Why is that? You should be able to explain that. I really believe you could take the Bible, but you can practically say, why should we honor the dead and honor a couple more than we honor the house of God? Have I said that yet? If you remember one point from this message, you say, preacher, I'm supposed to be remembering verses. I gave you plenty of verses, but a good practical point, that's it. I've said this before. Several years back, I read the Star Telegram about every day, and I need to learn how to view it on the internet, I guess, but still get the paper, you know, and read it. And so I was reading there, and they had one of the schools, local schools, public schools, had taken a group of little kids. I think they were, you know, a third, fourth grade maybe, to Bass Hall, downtown Fort Worth. And at that time, I don't know if they still do, at that time Bass Hall had a dress code. And they made all of those kids come to school with suits and ties for the boys and dresses for the girls. Public school. If you're going to come, the Bass Hall would not make an exception. If you're going to bring those kids into Bass Hall, they're going to dress this way. And I'm saying if Bass Hall can have dress codes and dress restrictions and so forth and honor their hall, we should honor the house of God. Amen. More so. Very much more. Very much. So much more than they honor that building downtown. When we think about dress, we should think about the spiritual environment in which we are creating. And again, we think about church. Here we are in this spiritual environment. We're trying to create, not create, we are creating a spiritual environment. And we need to be very careful that we don't make provision for somebody's flesh. Right? Amen. We don't want teenage girls dressing in a certain manner up in the youth department where instead of the teenage boy thinking about the lesson, all he can think about is that girl. Right? Well, he said he should control himself. Well, she should dress right too. And parents ought to make their girls dress right and make their boys dress right. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says we ought to edify one another. The way we dress could do the opposite. Everybody understand that? All right? So we need to be careful that we are creating that spiritual environment and that we are not the reason that that is not being created. Everybody with me? All right. On with it. Whatever number this is, honor. We should dress in a manner sometimes to honor the convictions and preferences of others. I've been in homes where I was asked to take my shoes off before I entered. You know, and there are different customs of other lands that we would honor and so forth. You honor those, right? You would do that for someone else. And we should honor someone else's convictions or preference as long as they are in line with the Word of God and don't overstep, you know, not, as long as they're not sins, what I'm saying. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. I think this has to do with adults, with their children, that kids ought to honor their parents' standards and convictions and preferences when it comes to dress, right? And I think so in a church as well. You say, well, I just don't agree, Pastor, with, well, just honor it and go on, right? Because the pastor watches for your souls. Romans chapter 12, verse 10 says, honor and prefer one another. Sometimes adults act like kids. You know, we set a standard, or we set a preference. I'm not talking about a principle. I'm not talking about a conviction now. I'm talking about a preference. My preference over your preference. Those could differ. But you can, according to the Bible, you can honor that preference. According to the Bible, you can prefer and honor the other person and do what they say just to honor and prefer them. In other words, put them above yourself. Does that make sense? You say, preacher, I like coming to an old-fashioned church where the preaching is hot and the singing is good and all these things, but I don't know so much about wearing a suit or wearing a dress or whatever the case is. I'm just not in line with that. Well, maybe on this principle, you would just have to say, hey, I differ with yours, but I'm going to honor you because you're in leadership. The Bible says I'm to honor those in leadership. Right? And the kids shouldn't have a choice. Amen. Same thing when you go to the golf course. I make you dress a certain way. A couple of our boys, maybe three of them, went over to the golf course over here, and they had to have a collared shirt on. Actually, I think they let y'all, didn't they? No, they didn't, did they? They made you go back, didn't they? Get a collared shirt on? You got to dress a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. There's an appropriate dress, that moderation, that preferences. And then, lastly, before we get to the next point of identity, underneath modesty, we think about, again, not conforming to this world. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We should not conform, but we should transform after accepting Christ as our Savior. In other words, again, we should live holy lives, and we should dress appropriately. The Christian ought to be out of step with the world. Let me say that again. A Christian should be out of step with the world, not in line with them. And just because your teenager comes to you and says, "Well, Mommy, everybody's dressing that way," doesn't make it right. In fact, you should say to them, "We want to live modest. We want to live modestly. We want to obey the Lord. We want to dress modestly, and we want to glorify God in the way we dress. So we will be out of step with the world." And do so, glorify God. We are to be the light of the world. In other words, we're going to dress in such a way to be a clear witness. To be a clear witness. It amazes me. Have I said that word yet tonight while I was preaching? It amazes me how Christians like to live. All right, so the boundary's here. And instead of living over here, I'm going to come right over to the boundary and I'm going to walk it. You know, it's like walking on a cliff, right? Instead of living, you know, way away from the edge of the cliff, I'm going to live right on it. Now, I'm going to be careful not to fall over, but I'm going to walk on it, you know, maybe hop on it a little bit. Isn't that the way a lot of people live? I'm just going to walk down the middle of the road, preacher. Just, who cares about the cars? I'm going to just walk right on the edge. Pastor, I'm not in sin. I'm not living wrong. Look, I'm just right on the edge. Who wants to live that? Does that glorify God? When it comes to dress, let's get off the cliff. let's move back from the cliff a little bit. Let's make the rules a little stricter than just what you would do at the edge. Everyone with me? So when you pray, and when you putting together your standards for your home, maybe you've already done this, don't put the standard right on the cusp, you know? Step back a little from it. Some of us ought to step back a bunch. Dress in a very clear fashion to be a clear witness. Let me just clarify again. Dress is a very small part of the principle of separation. Very small part. But it is a part. There must be a difference in our lives if we're going to make a difference in others' lives. There must be a difference in our lives if we're going to make a difference with our lives. I want to make a difference, don't you? In order to make a difference, we need to quit walking the tightrope and get off of the edge of the cliff. And live a clear and dress in a clear fashion that glorifies God. Very clear fashion. Secondly is the point of identity. When God made man, He made man and woman. Male and female made He them, the Bible says. There ought to be a very clear distinctness between the way a man dresses and the way a woman dresses. Hang on. Stay on board. In other words, what you wear distinguishes you. What you wear distinguishes you. I won't turn over there, but we do know the Old Testament was written for our example. Deuteronomy 22 says that a man shouldn't wear that which pertains to a woman, and a woman shouldn't wear that which pertains to a man. Everyone with me? I believe the principle found here is, a man ought to look like a man. A woman ought to look like a woman. Some preachers take that a little further in some cases, but I'm telling you, I believe absolutely that the principle, as well as would be my conviction, that a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. In other words, God was promoting femininity and masculinity. Femininity and masculinity. By the way, that's what the church should promote. We'll say, well, why is it so important, or why do you think it's important for a woman to wear a dress to church? We're promoting femininity. Why is it important for a man to dress sharp? And I think if you can, you dress. Man, Brother Ivy looked sharp today, didn't he? About the first time I've ever looked at him. No, I'm just kidding. I did that for you. But dress sharp. I mean, it used to always be you came in your Sunday best. Now maybe your Sunday best is a pair of Wrangler jeans and a nice cowboy shirt. And that's your best, wear it. But a man ought to come in and he'll look like a man. And in church, he should look like a distinguished man. He ought to be dressed nice. A woman ought to be dressed in a manner that she looks like a woman. And I know you can dress in slacks and other things. I realize that. And that's between you and the Lord. But listen, as a church, we're going to promote femininity and masculinity. That means, though we do not have a dress code at Heritage Baptist Church, we do have a dress code when it comes to our leaders. If you sing in the choir, you have to dress a certain manner. You have to wear a suit and a tie for the guys. You have to wear a dress for the ladies in order to sing in the choir. And anybody who is on the platform, except for on Wednesday nights, we're dressed in our Sunday best. We're promoting femininity and masculinity. Would you not say today that that's needed more than ever? When so many young men and young ladies in that area, the line is very blurred. We want to say that a man should dress this way and a woman should dress this way. A woman should look like a woman. A man should look like a man. In other words, it's amazing to me how you can go all over the world and the universal sign on a bathroom door is still the same. You don't even have to know what the word is. Well, that's just you're a male chauvinist. It's just the way it is. When people see you from a distance, they should be able to tell that you're a man. When people see you from a distance, they should be able to tell that you are a woman. I believe absolutely, if that line is blurred, that you are very much wrong. We were in a Chili's, me and my wife, here a month or two ago. And we had a waiter waiting on us, not a waitress. But it took me a while to decide. Can I say, if you get up in the morning and you dress in that fashion, you comb your hair in that fashion, that you have broken the principle found in the Word of God when it comes to masculinity and femininity? Again, from a distance, they should be able to tell. A man is a man, a woman is a woman. There are 54 million children in America, half of them with no father. We have a huge issue today in America when it comes to boys and masculinity. More so than the extent with the girls, but I'm talking about with guys especially. Boy, we need to teach our young men to be men. Absolutely. If you as a young man, there they are, aren't they sweet? If you as a young man put jeans on and you can't distinguish between those are boy jeans or girl jeans, you've got a problem. And they wear them. A boy who would put jeans on that has bling on them. Dads, don't let your sons do that. Come on. Now you say, preacher, you're getting into preferences. I'm saying the principle is, the conviction is, by the way, our principles and convictions ought to all be the same. That's one of the things me and Brother Stone are going to clarify over the next few weeks. Our standards may be different, our preferences, but I'm telling you, absolute Bible, that if a young man puts on jeans and you can't tell whether they're boy or girl jeans, he has broken the principle. And as a parent, you've allowed it. Let's promote masculinity, right? Amen. Preacher, nobody's going to show up the next time you preach. That's good. I'm glad. I'll preach to my wife. If she shows up, I'm trying to be loving. You know, preach the truth in love. And these are areas that I'm giving you. But these are important issues. Important to the family of God. Important to you. A man should look like a man. 1 Corinthians says it is a shame for a man to have long hair. Somewhere along the line, somebody thought that somebody pulled that out of the Bible. It's still there. Not in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. I get it every once in a while. Somebody will say, well, a preacher doesn't say it's a sin. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Can I tell you, it's a sin for a man to have long hair. In fact, it says, doesn't nature tell you this? The Bible says that a woman's hair is her glory. And it references long hair. But again, I think the way you read it, the way the principle is, if I'm looking from here to the back door, and I can't tell whether you're a man or a woman, there is an issue. There's a biblical issue there. Let's promote that femininity, ladies. Right? Let's promote masculinity with our boys. Dress them up. Dress them as a boy. Teach them to be men. Teach them to be boys, man. It's amazing. Get on TV. I said amazing like 75 times tonight. Get on TV and you watch various kids programming and see boys with makeup on. Come on, folks. Well, they're just teenagers. They're expressing themselves. And even adults will say that to you. Well, I'm just an adult. I'm expressing myself. That's not who you're supposed to be pleasing. You're supposed to be pleasing the Lord. You're supposed to be expressing Him to the world. No matter what you think or what you want to express, let's be a light. Let's glorify the Lord. Let's lift Him up. Let's be good ambassadors for the Lord. And again, I understand, dress is just a small portion of that, but it's an important portion. Think about various movies that have come out where men dressing up like ladies. And I know it's funny, but you know what? Ha, ha, ha. As time goes on, it's just more and more accepted. Arnold Schwarzenegger can have a baby in a movie. You know, here's an Arnold Schwarzenegger, the picturesque, action heroes, and he's having a baby in one movie. Anyway. Now we're meddling. We think about principle. The principle here is modesty. And I would just encourage you to go home, go on the internet or dictionary, whatever, you look up the word modesty. You follow the definitions. And as you look it up, you pray, God, how would you have me govern the way that I dress? How would you have me govern the way that my children dress? The principle is absolutely there, that God is concerned with the way we dress. For instance, when John the Baptist came out of the wilderness, Jesus said to the Pharisees and Sadducees, He said, what would you expect? And I'm summarizing here, okay? I don't have it memorized. What would you expect? Did you expect a man coming out with soft raiment? Remember I know that's not the context he's talking about John, but John the Baptist, he said, what were you expecting? A man to come out in soft raiment like the king's servants wear? And if you go back and you study that, it's referring to effeminate clothes. Did you expect John the Baptist coming out to wear and wearing effeminate clothes? No, he came out with camel skin and eating grasshoppers. I mean, he was a man. If you haven't eaten a grasshopper lately, you're not a man. No. Proverbs refers to, it talks about the clothes of a harlot. It doesn't say what that is, but it does reference, again, John the Baptist not wearing soft raiment. It references the clothes of a harlot. I never forget as a kid coming up to the Metroplex. It was a big deal. We lived in Bowie, Texas, 60 miles from here. And my mom liked to go to those, like Sam Moon's, which is over here now. And they were over off, wasn't it on Harry Hines at one point? It still is. And so my mom from time to time, maybe once a year, would talk my dad into coming down and going down there and going shopping. There were several other those kind of factory outlet thingies, whatever they call them. And you had to have a little tax ID number and all that junk. And so we'd go down there. Well, guess what else is on Harry Hines? And here you are, a 10-year-old boy, 11-year-old boy, asking, Daddy, what is that? They were easily distinguishable by the way they dressed. I don't know if they still go up and down that road or not, but back then it was, there was no hiding it. I mean, there was, 40 of them walking up and down through there. So it talks about the dress of a harlot. It talks about, again, the soft raiment. When Samuel came to Jesse's house and was there to not crown the new king, but anoint the new king. And he brought the sons of Jesse before him. He looked at that first son and he said, man, this must be him. He's the biggest. He's the best looking of the group. He's strong. He's macho. This must be him. And what did God say? Man looks on the outward, but God looks on the heart. And a lot of people like to say, see, God looks on the heart. But man looks on the outward. Man looks on the outward. Can I say it again? It does matter what you wear. People are going to judge me and do judge you by what you wear. So let's dress in a manner that glorifies God. Let's dress in a manner that's in step with the Lord and out of step with the world. Let's dress in a manner that would promote masculinity, that would promote femininity. Again, we see the principle here of modesty, the principle of identity. These are the two principles we've identified. And based on those principles, should produce a conviction in your life. And then of those, you should produce some standards and say, okay, if I'm going to honor and glorify God, this is the way I'm going to dress, and this is the way I'm going to have my kids dress. And can I say, parents, for the most part, when that little girl comes out and whatever you purchased her, can I just say that it ought to pass daddy's inspection, not necessarily mama's inspection? You know, mama, you can think it's cute all day long. And daddy say, no, that's a little too much. Right? Women, you don't think like a guy. It's just not the same. You know how we can't figure you out? You know what I'm saying? It takes years, and I don't think we ever get to the point where we do. I'm telling you, I'm going to take it too far, and you'll be scared of every man in here. You think about a little girl, and this has become very popular, you know, for girls to show their belly button and wear those type of shirts and so forth. I'm going to say it again. It amazes me. You do it. You watch. If you find like a 10-year-old girl or a 9-year-old girl, something like that, maybe 8-year-old girl, that a parent has put that on, or an 11-year-old girl, 12, but before they kind of get to that teenage thing, or maybe just right at the beginning of the teenage thing, what is that girl constantly doing? What is she doing? What does that girl constantly do? You watch it. See them all the time. Trying to pull that shirt down. Do you realize that in her heart, that law that's been placed upon every heart, God said so. There's a conscience there. And again, it may be warped a little, but it's still there. And so she's trying to pull, you know, a skirt from to here. What is she trying to do the entire time? Right? Oh, this other side. See, that was good acting. Girl's trying to pull the shirt down past her belly button. You watch. I promise you, this goes on all the time. Dress about right here. She's trying to pull it down. Why? Her conscience. People looking at her. She can tell they're looking at her. What happens over time? She stops pulling the shirt down. She stops pulling the dress down to the appropriate level. Her conscience has been seared. Oh, but it's so cute. Pastor, so cute to see my little girl wearing this or wearing. You're just training her. She's going to become a teenager one day and walk out and got all the bumps in the right places, and you're going to be going like, you can't wear that. And she'd say, why not, Daddy? You let me wear this a year ago. Hypocrite. That's what she, in her mind, she may not tell you you're a hypocrite, but she's thinking it. Absolutely. I did meddle, didn't I, Brother Mosley? I got all in there. I'm telling you, we need to be careful. You say, well, you're picking on all the little girls. I've already picked on the guys, the little girl jeans. Stop doing it. You walk out of the house looking like a girl, I hope they make fun of you from here to the bus, you know. And somebody gets in the back of the bus and whoops you. stop wearing this stuff. And let me, there's always exceptions to the rules. Y'all understand that. Just in my mind, I thought about somebody who couldn't afford clothes. I said, there's always exceptions to the rules. Maybe they have to wear what they have to wear, but there's nobody in here like that. It's all about Jesus. It's all about surrendering to Him. It's all about glorifying Him. What does He want? A decent dress does not produce a right heart. It should reflect it. Dressing right should reflect one's heart. It certainly won't create it. A godly heart will produce a godly lifestyle. Two things to remember. Modesty and identity. Both of these are principles found in the Word of God. And as you think about dress and the way you dress, think about these two principles. Draw some convictions according to these two principles, and there's a lot more that I didn't share tonight. And then set some standards. Set some standards. That's all.